Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. We're excited about this discussion coming up on Netflix. We are in the chair of decision maker. And we are, from a sports perspective, looking for the next big docuseries. 6 to 10 hours of coverage. Mate, go 12 if you think it's deserving of 12.
I mean, if you've got a pitch for 20 hours, if you think there's two seasons worth of material, we want to hear about it. We need something that you think, a story that has not either been told enough or told in depth enough or has never been told, that needs to be out there. Netflix, by the way, is just handing out money. It is ridiculous, yes, the amount of money they're spending on original content. I feel like, Hutton, if you and I got the right pitch together, we may be able to go to Netflix and get
they
something made
it
right now.
Yep.
So what is your pitch? What's something you want to see on Netflix? A docuseries that you can really dive into because it's a story that you know well, or a story you think you know that you want to know more about. 615-737-1045.
A topic, we threw this topic out about an hour ago to have some callers and listeners think about their decision, because you and I, Chad, we have been thinking about this for over a week. I mean, this is one that we have tabled day after day because we had more to get to and didn't have time to get to it. Well, as I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days, I've had different ideas pop in my head of like, oh, that would be great. That would be great. So I have several examples, but I'm going with my initial reaction, my initial thought. And for me, I would be fascinated to watch a series on Netflix that chronicles the saga of the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks since 1999, the individual quarterback failures for the Browns, where they are now, and how they look back on their careers after landing in the one spot with the one organization where no quarterback wants to go. And then you end the series with a sit-down interview with Baker Mayfield. That's how you wrap it up.
Like the season finale, the final part would be Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
I like that format.
Because every quarterback was supposed to be the savior. And you end on the guy who's next in line to be the savior of the franchise at quarterback. I would love it from, I mean, and the different stories. You could go so in depth. Everyone from Tim Couch to Ty Detmer to Doug Peterson.
Kelly Holcomb.
Jeff Garcia was there for a year. Trent Dilfer was there. Charlie Fry. I mean, there are so many excellent storylines. Ken Dorsey. Who am I leaving out? Jake Delhomme. Colt McCoy. I mean,
Sean Kizer.
There are a lot of recognizable names that I would be interested in, not just from the Browns' perspective, but what are they up to now? Seneca Wallace.
Seneca Wallace.
Jason Campbell.
Wow, forgot about Jason Campbell. That is a great one. I would certainly sit down and watch that. And
if you could have everyone on board in that list since 99, that would be an excellent series.
I like the idea of, like, you know, it starts in Laramie, Wyoming, or something on a ranch, and it's like Tim Couch, you know, just sitting out there doing something outside and you're talking to him. I love stories like that that go to unexpected places. My first thought with this, Hutton, and it's the thought I had the day all this went down, and this is very recent, so there's some proximity bias to this. I want to see a docuseries on the day the fans took over, and that is the Sunday that Tennessee fans stopped Greg Schiano from getting hired. I want a multi-part docuseries told from the perspective of John Curry, from Bev Davenport, from Philip Fulmer eventually, from different fans, from media. I like the idea of starting on that day with something crazy and then going back in time. Maybe you go back to the day Fulmer was fired. And then you kind of, over that 10 years, build up to the crescendo. So each part of the series is going to be told from a different perspective, but it's all going to feature little bits and pieces of that Sunday. And then it's going to go back and explain why the fans are so angry. It's going to go back and explain everything. It's going to go back into the Sandusky testimony. It's going to go back into everything about Greg Schiano. Every little part of this is a 10-hour series to me. Probably 10-hour-long parts. And you piece it all together until the end, you have the complete portrait of what went down on that Sunday and why. The 10 years that built up to that, what went down, and then probably part 10 is the aftermath. Curry getting fired, Philip Fulmer taking over. And that's how the series ends. Is you lead up basically from Philip Fulmer. The focus of it is that Sunday where everything changed. But you go from Fulmer being fired to Fulmer being rehired as athletics director. So you're going to kind of go back in time and piece it together. I don't want, you know, 2 hours on Derek Dooley, but I want a good synopsis of what that hire was like, what happened, and then how Tennessee moved forward. I'd be fascinated with that. And that's not just, again, that's not just a Tennessee story. To me, that's a fascinating sports story to be told. And each part would feature maybe in the beginning of the episode, maybe at the end, but bits and pieces of that Sunday where the Schiano hire was stopped.
And there's plenty of drama that you could end with plenty to tease the next week or the next episode on the binge.
And it's the ultimate full circle story. You know, you open on that Sunday, show something crazy that was going on, Tennessee retracting the offer, and then go back to Philip Fulmer's press conference where he's crying as he's fired as Tennessee head coach in 2008.
615-737-1045, our number.
I'm going to start off by giving you the title for mine. How about that? Tiger by the Tail. The Rise and Fall of Tiger Woods. There is so much still left to this story to tell between the way he started when he was a kid, his relationship with his father, how it all fell apart, being a sex addict, trying to make a comeback, being the guy that was a shoe-in to break Nicklaus's record. And now here you are sitting stuck at 14 majors, and you have these flashes of greatness once again, but you still can't put it all together. There is so much meat on that bone to tell the true story of Tiger Woods. And I want to hear from everyone who he's come in contact with in his life. I want to hear the truth about Tiger Woods and what led to his fall.
I love it.
I would watch every minute of
it. I would watch every second of it. The one issue you would have is getting the right people to agree to do it. Because so often,
you're right.
I love the concept of something like that, but you only get, like, Jordan participating in this docuseries that's going to come out. So then I automatically think, well, it's going to be really slanted to make Michael Jordan look great, and I want something more down the middle, but I also want Michael Jordan to take part in it. You know, same thing with Tiger Woods. I want it very down the middle, but I want Tiger Woods to take part in it. Well, Tiger Woods probably isn't going to take part in anything that he doesn't think is going to be favorable to him. But then if you go completely the other side and you're just interviewing his, you know, hooker mistresses, then that's going to be slanted the other way, because then it's all just sensational and none of his friends are willing to talk on camera. But if you could do it right, Reed, I'm spending big money on that. Maybe you can go back to film school like your mom wants you to, and then you could make this docuseries for Netflix.
But I want to hear from Steve Williams.
Yes.
I want to hear from the ex-wife.
I want to hear from Phil Mickelson, other players that played with him and against him also.
I want to hear from Perkins patrons, Perkins waitresses.
Yes.
Managers.
CEO
I want to hear
Perkins.
Was Tiger Woods good for business?
Let me tell you something. Business was booming. We didn't get so much good publicity for years at Perkins until Tiger
chapters.
Woods came along.
Tiger by the Tail is the name, but you have like Tiger on the Prowl.
We actually
different chapters of the series.
A tiger can't change its stripes.
We actually promoted that waitress to COO of Perkins after that story because she helped out sales so much.
615-737-1045, our number. Loaded lines. Your phone calls next. Some great examples. We have more examples to give you as well of what Netflix should really dive into.
Can't wait to hear these pitches. Exit Realty, the Moore Group and Associates, they have a pitch for you. If you're selling or buying a home locally, they're going to sell your home for $950. The website is wesellhomesfor950.com. The phone number is 615-636-8244. On a $300,000 home, that's over $8,000 in savings. Savings that can be used for down payments, for closing costs, or for upgrades if you're building a new home. Monty Moore and his team, they have over 100 years combined real estate experience, and they're approaching 10 years selling homes at a reduced rate. What all are you going to get for $950? You're going to get a lot. In-home consultation, professional photography, a full-time listing manager, expansive social media and internet marketing, a mega open house, professional showing service, expert consultation and negotiation, and a full-time transaction management service. Don't wait. Give Exit Realty and the Moore Group and Associates a call today if you're even thinking about buying or selling a home. Their phone number, 615-636-8244, or online at wesellhomesfor950.com. Couple that go way back that I want more info on that's out there. But we'll hear from some of the callers first. Only one phone line open right now if you want to jump in. We are Netflix. You were pitching us on an idea for a sports docuseries, a story that needs to be told. either it hasn't been told enough, it hasn't gone in depth enough, or hasn't been told at all. 737-1045. Josh on Twitter says, my docuseries, The Life of Kirby. Sold. If we had billions of dollars.
And with those like stories, Netflix, it would be a very long series.
Oh, this is like a 20-hour expose on Kirby's life.
And we would air it 4 days later than the assigned day on purpose.
The first five parts, the Ohio years, followed by the Jackson County years.
Let's go to Charles online, too. Just thinking about those stories makes me laugh. What's up, Charles? How are you, man?
Doing great. All right, so here's my idea. I just got through watching Bull Durham again the other night. I think it would be an awesome docuseries to have to call it Chasing the Show, where you document two or three nuclear loosers going from, you know, single A ball all the way up to the show, and two or three Crash Davises coming from the show back down to single A ball. I think you got multiple series. You can also pull in Japan, you know, guys coming over from overseas too.
I would love that. That would take a lot of effort.
Take a lot of money, a lot of time, but I would absolutely watch it. I've long thought, Hutton, to me, the gold standard of any sports documentary is Hoop Dreams. That's the one that everyone remembers, and it's 4 hours, and it's captivating. That's the first documentary that everyone watched, right? Like, oh, it's 4 hours in a documentary, but you watched it. It was just compelling, going into the stories of those two kids in urban Chicago and them trying to make it in basketball, and then doing it over the course of 7 years the way they did, following both of them, you know, for 7 years. Why don't we have more of that? Like, I would love to watch the football version of Hoop Dreams of kids in Texas or kids in Atlanta, Georgia, or wherever. I feel like there's an avenue for more stories like that where you don't know going into it. Like, if I were to do a series on Larry Bird, well, we know where Larry Bird ended up. We know how great Larry Bird became. But you take the chance on a kid who's a big prospect and just roll the cameras and see where it goes.
You tell the story regardless of what happens.
As it's happening, you know right then what's going on. I mean, neither player really made it, Arthur Agee or William Gates in Hoop Dreams. You know, that one played at Marquette, one played college basketball, but they played overseas. They played a little bit of professional ball, but neither one made it to the NBA.
Reed, I don't know why this triggered this memory, but I remember watching a pro wrestling show similar to what Chad's describing, what our caller's describing. What was that called?
I can't remember the name of it. It was like an A&E documentary series.
Yeah, it was. And they followed them around for years, mm-hmm. these local wrestlers across the country and what they went through.
I can't remember the name of it either, but that's compelling. And that's why Last Chance U is compelling, because you don't know how it's going to end. But for Charles, I would recommend this is a documentary on Netflix, but the Battered Bastards of Baseball is a great documentary, sports documentary. It's probably the best sports documentary you'll find on Netflix. So if he's a baseball guy,
minor league players?
It's about the Portland Mavericks. A team that was founded and owned by Kurt Russell's father. Kurt Russell played for it when he was younger, was also the president of the team.
I'm sure Will Ferrell also pitched for them at some point.
They were a Class A short season team. No affiliation to any major league team. They were like the Wild West with this team.
Chad's pickup league.
Yeah, exactly. Did Ron Slay play left field for that team also? I'm watching that now. That's one I need to see. Last Chance U is a great example. Because I watch it and I don't know what happened with East Mississippi Community College that year. So everything I'm seeing is totally new. I'm not keeping up with their scores. It's certainly fun to follow.
615-737-1045, our number. Let's go next to Jonathan on line 3. He's been waiting patiently. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love your ideas for Netflix, and I've got a couple of my own. The first one I would pitch would be a short series on Albert Haynesworth. You know, if you live in Oregon or Massachusetts or somewhere not connected to him, you know him for two things, the foot stomp and the big contract in Washington that ended up being called bust. But there's so much more to him. You know, you could take it from the angle of fans of the University of Tennessee and the Tennessee Titans that had double reason to cheer for him and then, you know, felt abandoned when he left for Washington. You could take it from the perspective of you know, the Dallas Cowboys player who got stomped on. But then more than anything, his article that he wrote for the Players Tribune called Letter to My Younger Self, when I read that, that totally changed my perspective on Albert Haynesworth. And even though, you know, I'd kind of given up on the guy after the foot stomp and when he left, you know, I really had a lot of respect for him after I read that article. And I think that that really changes people's perspective when they find out the whole story. So I think that would be an amazing story to pitch on Netflix. I also think it'd be cool for a longer series to do one on Heisman Trophy busts in the NFL, and then kind of one of those where are they now stories like you guys talked about with the Browns quarterbacks. So I think there could be some cool stories on guys like Gino Toretta that people probably don't have a clue where they are now. So
yeah,
those are my ideas.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jonathan. I like the Heisman idea.
I like both. Both really good. Marshall on Twitter says, y'all are delusional if you think the UT coaching fiasco is interesting to people outside of Tennessee. You don't think a fan base rising up and stopping a coach from being hired after a contract was offered isn't interesting to everyone?
Did you see the national headlines when that happened?
Well, and just take Tennessee out of it, regardless of school. That's interesting. If that happened in Japan, that's an interesting story. That a fan base through social media stopped a hire from happening after it had happened. There was a memorandum of understanding signed by Greg Schiano, and they took it off the table because of social media. That's not interesting to you? Then I can't help you. There are very few things interest you if you don't think that's interesting to people outside of Tennessee.
Anchor down.
Is that so Marshall's a Vandy fan?
I would put money on it.
Let's see. I'm going to click
or,
on his.
Vandy or Bama.
Oh, here you go. Marshall, it says, husband, father, pastor, planter, loves coffee, and War Eagle. He's an Auburn fan.
Oh. I would have lost money on that one.
He thinks, you know, Marshall, though, thinks that a 10-part series on Chris Porter, Auburn basketball player, would be really fascinating.
The societal impact of what social media was able to do alone in that story, to me, is compelling.
Yeah, take the Tennessee part out of it. I think it's just a compelling story for any sports team. But I do think that the color the story gets because of the background of former firing and on is important to the story, right? People would need to know why were Tennessee fans angry.
Yes.
The story of the different presidents, the chancellors, the scandal of John Peterson as president spending $80,000 on a rug for his house and everything that went in. I mean, there's so much poor management that went on that built up to that. That needs to be in the story also. That's compelling for any sports fan.
615-737-1045, our number. Let's go next to Michael. Michael, thanks for waiting.
Gentlemen, thank y'all. Hope y'all are doing well.
Hey, man.
Mine would be about former Tampa Bay Bucks receiver Joe Jared Vicious. Right before the NFC Championship game in 2002, his son was diagnosed with, I believe it's pronounced sialidosis, and it's a rare disease where his body can't break down carbohydrates or fats. And all week long, Jared Vicious didn't show up to practice, you know, was with the son, and he flew into Philly that Saturday morning. He only made one catch for 71 yards in the game, but it completely turned the game around and brought the Bucks the lead and gave him a 10-7 lead and completely flipped the script on how the game was going. The Bucks finally got over beating the Eagles, went on to win the Super Bowl, and then his son unfortunately died about 2 months later. And a perfect episode breakdown would be, you know, the first episode, he wasn't a very known player, so get to know Joe. Second episode would be, you know, finding out about his son, and then the whole week leading up to the game. Third episode, just be a breakdown of the disease itself. The fourth episode could be about the game in general and how it goes. And then the fifth game could be the Super Bowl and him wrapping up his career. And six could be, a 10-year later, how's he doing now type deal.
And you could make it work with the other personalities. Like Gruden, Keyshawn Johnson, I believe, was
yep,
on that
Keyshawn
roster.
Keyshawn Johnson, Warren Sapp.
Keenan McCardell, yes. Derek Brooks. All
John Lynch.
Yes, you could You could have a lot of different familiar faces as a part of that.
Michael, you sold us. I wasn't in the beginning when I saw Joe Juravicious up there, but you sold us on the idea. Good work.
Thanks, guys.
UW on Twitter says, I want the 90s Cowboys. The Construction, Jerry and Jimmy, Michael Irvin on crack, Dion, Emmett's holdout, Aikman versus Skip Bayless, Barry Switzer's ineptitude, and the unraveling.
Take us inside the White House.
You can easily get 10 hours out of that. If that series happens, I want at least 3 of those hours on the White House. of those 10 hours. To me, that's the behind-the-scenes story that we need more stories about. What exactly went down?
615-737-1045, our number.
Charles Haley.
Oh, gosh.
An hour or two out of his stories also. That's a great one.
And how much everyone else knew about what was going on.
Yeah. Marshall thinks anyone outside of Dallas, delusional.
No one outside of Dallas
would care about the Cowboys. As he pins his Auburn baseball docuseries that he and his buddies would watch and no one else.
It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Hot, humid weather is on the way. Stay ahead of the game with an air conditioning tune-up from Precision Air. They're coming out to my house this afternoon. Looking forward to the tune-up from Precision Air. Did you know a tune-up is an affordable way to ensure that your system is ready for the cooling season? It could also help save up to 20% off your energy bills and extend the life of your HVAC unit. Call Precision Air, your home comfort specialist, at 615-834-3777. 834-3777 is their number. They're online at precisionairtn.com. One of the biggest hassles we can face as homeowners is that heating or cooling unit breakdown. They always come at the worst times. When they do happen, you have to blindly trust the recommendations of the person who came out to your home to take a look at it. When it comes to integrity in the heating and cooling industry, Precision Air is amazing. They will ensure that you are fully informed on the options that you have for your particular scenario. And the bottom line is, no big sales tactics, no pressure, no quotas to meet from Precision Air. The technician who comes out to your home, non-commissioned, meaning they have no incentive to sell you something that you don't need. Precision Air also celebrating its 25th year serving Middle Tennessee by offering a free indoor air quality test with your tune-up. You can also join Precision Air's Comfort Club Express like I have. Free for a limited time. Members receive discounted seasonal tune-ups, priority service to the front of the line, and repair discounts, plus much more. Comfort is a must, so call the experts you trust. Call 615-834-3777, 834-3777, online at precisionairtn.com, your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Come join
all-time favorite
concerts. That was the first night that the three of us were like, okay, this is going to be cool because we're all friends now.
That was when we knew that we could hang out in any setting together.
Yes, it's not just show up to work.
And then a love affair began, and fast forward 6 years, and here we are, hon. You want to talk about a docuseries for Netflix? There it is. It started at Mumford & Sons. It ended in the grave. What if I told you...
The relationship.
What if I told you three dudes bonded over Mumford & Sons and a love affair started from that point on?
Chad, I love you.
I love you too. First off, I'm excited that you finally said that, and I would like to return the favor and say I love you too.
I can't believe Reed has that.
It's great. I love it.
Forever I have that. So
there are some really, really good ideas on Twitter. We also have loaded lines. It's hard to keep up with how many tweets we're getting, but one of the best ones that I saw, Hutton, and I want to credit the guy who had it as I scroll up here. The title of it was Peyton's Court, and he wants to see the courting of Peyton Manning as a free agent told from the Broncos, Titans, Dolphins, Colts, the whole side. The Colts knowing that they were breaking away from him for Andrew Luck, and everyone going in depth and talking about it, Peyton Manning included.
I would love that.
That's a really good idea.
We're being flooded with tweets, too, on ideas here.
Yeah, Brent on Twitter, Peyton's Court, the courting of Peyton Manning, Colts, Broncos, Dolphins, Titans sides, full disclosure by everyone on what went on with that.
Let's go to Jackie. Jackie, welcome. Hey, Jackie.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie. Hey.
Yes, sir. I have thought about this for quite a while. I am from Kentucky. Used to be a Kentucky fan years ago. I'm no longer one. But something that has always fascinated me is the fact that Adolph Rupp would not recruit a black player, did not want to play Texas Western in the NCAA Finals. Yet, they have named the arena where the Wildcats play, Rupp Arena. And I've always been curious, especially in this day and time, why there has not been an uproar over that.
It's interesting. Just sort of the, we talked about C.M. Newton, who helped integrate things.
Yep.
Adolph Rupp was a strict segregationist, which a lot of white men in the South were at the time. he was in the majority, certainly at that point. But that would be an interesting story. Also, we know the name Adolph Rupp. We know he's legendary in basketball. Unless you're a huge Kentucky fan that's read books about Adolph Rupp, how much do we really know about his influence on the game?
Yeah,
just the his upbringing, his influence on basketball, what innovations did he bring to the game, how he started that legendary Kentucky program and what it is today. I would certainly watch a docuseries on Adolph Rupp. We're getting
Jackie.
So many good ideas. Netflix needs to follow us on Twitter right now and just see the mentions.
Let's go next to Travis. Hey, Travis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to break the rules a little bit and go with a fictional movie with a, you could add some realism in there. So imagine it's a beautiful Sunday morning. It's opening day, and the crowds are out to see the big game. There is a father with his young kid, and they're getting ready to go to the game. They've got a pair of tickets. Well, on the way to the game, that father sells those tickets. He's a little bit of a degenerate. So 30 years later, that same young kid ends up being a ticket scalper, and he's buying and selling tickets, and you've got so many different he could be basically the main character, and then you've got so many other aspects of it, so many other different type of personalities that buy and sell tickets, from the big companies to the guys with the websites to the little guy that goes broke spending his rent money on tickets. And so many different aspects, like, you know, when Peyton Manning was with the Colts, Colts tickets were ridiculously expensive here in Nashville. When he was gone, they went, so low. A certain player gets injured, tickets go, they just drop. Something happens during a game, tickets go up. So you can have so many different aspects of basically kind of make it or break it for so many different people. And then you could have a little bit of the fan aspect of it, the people that are, going, the diehard fans traveling around, seeing, different sporting events. And then you could have a little bit from the player's perspective.
And it's interesting, but Travis, let me just a little bit of advice here. If you're going to go the fictional route, you're going to need to narrow it down a little bit, because now you're going into something that's just sports. I'm hearing the owner's perspective and the fan's perspective, and you had me at first about a kid watches his dad sell tickets, grows up to be a scalper, and then you tell a story about him as an adult scalper around other scalpers, but then you just went so broad, I don't know what it is you're pitching me now.
You could get very specific and have a docuseries on the scalpers.
On scalpers, yeah.
Every time I see a guy on the street selling tickets, I think, what is it like to do this for a living?
Yep, to wake up and know you've got to go out and meet this quota.
The hustle.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite 30 for 30 podcasts is the Yankee Sucks, which would kind of be similar to this. Two guys that started peddling Yankee Sucks t-shirts outside Fenway Stadium that went on to make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, because they won't tell you exactly how much they made. This is along the same lines.
615-737-1045, our number.
Marshall, our Auburn fan, who thinks the Tennessee idea only applies to Tennessee fans with them stopping a hire, continues to tell us why we're stupid to think that that would actually be watched by anyone.
Rebellion is universal.
Dane, yes. Walter, Witt, Dustin, your ideas straight ahead. All great ones on the comment line. I can't wait to dive in with some of these ideas. Chad and I also brought more to the table on some Netflix ideas. I went with the Cleveland Browns quarterback saga, in depth on the individuals since 1999, where they are now, and how playing for the Browns impacted them, not just with their careers, but where they are today in life.
I have one that I'm going to say when we come back up, that if you don't want to watch this, I don't want you to listen to the show ever again.
Also, full disclosure, Malcolm Butler will call us as soon as practice wraps up for Titans OTAs today. That could be at 105. That could be at 115. Who knows? But he will pick up the phone and call us. We will continue to take your calls around the visit with Malcolm Butler. So if you're on the line, hang with us. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.